We welcome you this morning. Call your attention to a number of the announcements that we want to emphasize and just make sure that you see them. A couple of announcements that relate to special activities here. On the back of your bulletin, you'll notice the Girls' Night Out. That's this coming Friday night. And there are sign-up sheets on the bulletin board in the hallway. And ladies, if you're looking just for a good time, a relaxing time, but a good time, plan on being there, sign up, and just remember that there are no babysitting, so perhaps men, you can make it easy on your wife to come. You can even volunteer to take care of the kids rather than have her ask you. And but that'll be this coming Friday night, April 24th. And then some of you may remember that there was scheduled a couples night out, just a night for a husband and wife to be together in real, again, around a meal. And that was going to be in February, and that got postponed. And that is set up again for May 2nd, the first weekend in May. And so that's going to be at May 2nd at 6 p.m. And there, again, are sign-up sheets in the hallway for that. And you can talk to Kristen Carson if you have questions about that activity. But so this Friday, ladies, for the 24th, and then couples, husbands, wives, men, women, May 2nd at 6 o'clock, not just for married, but just couples. And you can talk to Kristen Carson about that on May 2nd. After the service, I will be posting this announcement, and you know it'll be this one because it has this red little streak on it, on the bulletin board outside the office, the library. And it has to do with hosting international students. Some of you know that Anna Wilson works at the Spring International Language Center down at U of A, and this is a school that teaches sort of an intensive English language school for foreign students. And some of them are content just to go to the classes there before they go to university or go back to their home countries. But others are looking for places to stay where they can get a more normal environment and learn English in a more normal environment in addition to their classes. And so there are opportunities for you to be a host family. Now, the hosting can go from a weekend to the entire year or anywhere in between, and you can work that out with the Spring Learning, the International Language Center. But this is an opportunity for some of you. Maybe you can take a student for a weekend or maybe for a month or maybe for a longer period of time. Bring them into your home and not only show them hospitality and do good in terms of their impression of the United States and Northwest Arkansas, but a real opportunity. These are probably not believers, not all Christians, and so this is an opportunity to meet them. So if you're at all interested, if you're at all interested in hosting international students, you can see this announcement. There's a phone number that you can talk to. If you have other questions, you might get in touch with Anna Wilson. She'll give you some more information, but do take a look at this announcement, and perhaps some of you can join that. On May 17th, and again in the bulletin, we'll be having a baptismal service as part of our morning service. And if this is something that you are interested in, participating in being baptized, or this is something you have a question about, whether it's about our practice or about the whole concept of the teaching on baptism or whatever, you can talk to me or you can talk to Steve when he gets back before that. But May 17th, that's just a few weeks away, and we trust that you will take this opportunity to participate in that, and you can see me or see Steve, and we'll be glad to talk to you about that. Next Sunday evening, excuse me, you need to remember that the Wheatles will be speaking in the evening service, and we are always glad when our Missionary families come back off the field for a short time, and they're very gracious and give us one of their very rare Sundays and to come and share their work. And we've known Terry and Kathy now for many, many, many years, and their work in on the island of Mindanao in the Philippines at Life Resource Foundation School there. And so come next Sunday night, and Terry and Kathy will be presenting their work, and it's a good work, and you need to hear about it to allow you to pray more knowledgeably for them, to find out perhaps maybe what you can do to support them very specifically. So plan on next Sunday night. And then two announcements that are sort of related to next Sunday. Next Sunday is the fourth Sunday of the month, and we'll be having our fellowship dinner. And this is always a good time, and I would really encourage you to plan ahead to come and to share a meal with us here at the church, and just take some time and just, it seems like sitting down at a table and just eating and having coffee together is just a good way to get to know each other. And so we trust that you'll be able to make that. That's next Sunday right after the morning service, and just put that on your schedule. Some of you ladies may have a little bit of trouble thinking in terms of that dinner because you don't have any dishes left at home. They're all on the table in the hallway, and we really do encourage you to take them home. What happens sooner or later is we find a home for them, but we would much rather you get them rather than we donate them to Salvation Army or something, but they will be gone sooner or later. But some of them have been here quite some time. We've gotten rather fond of them, you know. You see them every week. But do take a look at the table in the hallway. If you see something that's yours, take it home, please, just to kind of help reduce some of the things laying around the church. But do plan again on the fellowship dinner next week, and I trust it'll be a good time and that you can make it with us. We want to praise the Lord today. And that's part of why we are here as a body. We can learn from one another, we can teach one another, but we can also as a body praise the Lord, and we praise the Lord in song, we praise the Lord in His Word, praise the Lord in our fellowship with each other. And so Chris is going to come, and we're going to open the service with a song of praise, and then we'll have a special choir number that we'll talk about, but we trust it'll be a good service for you. Chris?
If you'll stand and take your hymnals, turn to number 8. We're going to start this morning with Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's number 8.
Oh, yeah.
be seated.
Psalm 100 says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." And the ladies are going to come and sing a musical version of Psalm 100 to continue our praise to the Lord. Ladies.
If you'll take your hymnals again and turn to number 44 and stand together as we sing Children of the Heavenly Father. It's number 44.
Yeah.
turn back to number 491. Number 491 is a responsive reading, and after we read, we'll flip a few pages forward to number 503. So we'll read 491, and then we'll skip straight to 503. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Number 503. We'll sing straight through the verses, and we'll sing the refrain only after the last verse.
Thank you.
take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Roger is going to come and read our scripture for the day.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to those who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness toward us. We thank you for your provisions of forgiveness. Thank you for your grace, which served to reconcile us to our Heavenly Father, that you broke down the dividing wall. We pray, Father, for this service. We pray for the words that are spoken, that it might draw us to you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Take your hymnals one more time. Turn to number 494. Number 494, if you'll all stand together, and we'll sing Like a River Glorious.
We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Some good words in those hymns. I trust that you're getting to know them, and just really good. We want to look, if you would, in John chapter 16, just at one verse this morning. And then this evening, I'll be speaking because Steve is gone for the week at a going to a convention up in a conference up in Chicago. And this evening we'll be speaking on the same verse. So you might even take some time this afternoon and memorize it. But the verse is John 16:33, one of the verses you read. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. We want to look at that verse today, this morning, and this evening as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promise that you have given us, finding perfect peace. Thank you that as we trust you, you demonstrate your trustworthiness. You are faithful, Lord, to your people. Just pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning from this verse, and perhaps this evening challenge our lives from this verse. Cause us to think about how we are inside in this world, that somehow our spirit might reflect your glories and your goodness and your greatness, your faithfulness. That we would be people characterized by peace, even in the midst of a world that knows no peace. So we just ask that you would speak to us through your word, by your spirit. And Father, you know the hearts here today. And there are some who are struggling because of the economy. There are others struggling because of relationships. There are others struggling for all sorts of things in their minds. Pray that you would quiet our hearts before you. Cause us to see what we should have. And we'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. We're in a very familiar section by now, even though we took a couple of weeks off for Palm Sunday and Easter, which is always appropriate. We're in a very familiar section of John 13 through 17. These are the last words to his disciples. And he is speaking and has spoken to them about himself, some things about himself and his relationship to the Father. He has spoken to the disciples about themselves, and especially applicable to them and to us, he has spoken to them and thus to us about their coming life. Christianity is not all in the past tense, like I was saved, and it's not all in the future, I will be in heaven. It's the vast majority of the teaching in scriptures, I'm here right now. And so he's spoken to them about their life. And essentially in these passages, he will tell them as you read them, and I trust you have been reading them over the weeks and will continue for another few weeks. He's been telling them what to expect when he goes. And with the expectation of something coming, he's also telling them what provisions he is making for them, because he just does not leave us alone. The ladies sang, I love that arrangement. That is I've heard a lot of arrangements of Psalm 100, and that is really... But we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. See? And He doesn't just say, we are His sheep, good luck. You know, we are His people, good luck, I hope you make it. He makes provision as a shepherd for His people, for His sheep. And He's been telling them in these passages about some of the provisions, how they can live. What He says, I will give you, I promise you, I will give you these things to live by. See? And one of the things, and we spent a couple of weeks on, is the Holy Spirit. And we won't touch on that again. But that's a provision that God, Jesus, has given to us. He's not here. He sent the Spirit. See? Today, we want to talk about a couple of more things that He says we will have. One of them is what He will give us. And another is something's coming, but don't worry because He makes provision for it. One of them is peace, and the other is tribulation. And both of those things are promised to us by the Lord as He's leaving. See? And this morning we want to focus in on peace. And just back just for a moment to chapter 14, verse 27. In the context of leaving and in the context of the disciples staying in the world, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. And it's to people such as we, the first group of disciples, but the passage goes on to us, who are living in a world that's not all that different from our world. Now we think of the Romans and whatnot, and you know, all the external things, but the inside of the world and the system is not all that different from our day and age. So this could be 2009 as well as, I don't know, maybe 90 or something like that. See? It's a world system that we live in that is under the relative control of an adversary, a foe, an enemy, Satan. See? And the world, the system's attitude toward us, toward the disciples, is going to be one of enmity. See? We are not ever at peace with the world. They were not to be at peace with the world. We are not at peace with the world. That's just the way it is. See, we are here, they were there, we're here, and it's all the same system. And we are not at peace with it. It's not at peace with itself either. Romans chapter 8 says the physical world, see, and you can talk about the tornado down in Mena, and you can talk about the floods up in Fargo, and you can pick your favorite natural catastrophe, if you will. See, the whole world groans under this burden of the system. See, the physical world groans. And we learn to live with it. We adjust to it. Doesn't mean we like the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the floods. I mean, the earthquakes. But we recognize that that's just the way it is, and we can kind of handle that. But there's another world. It's not that's the physical world. That's what we live on. We walk on the world, and But there's another world that we live in, see. And that's where we really live. I don't live in Springdale, biblically. I mean, that's just where the house happens to be. I live in the world, and it's a world of people in a system. It's full of world-class people. Now, you hear about world-class athletes and world-class companies and world-class this and world-class that, and it's taken on a kind of a glow, if you will. That's really something special. Well, not biblically. To be a world-class person, Isaiah says they're like the troubled sea. They just go back and forth. They're restless, always turning up mud and refuse. And you go to the beach and it just churning all the time. See? They have no rest. There is no peace to world-class people. See? And everybody wants peace. We want Darfur to settle down, and we'd like Afghanistan to settle down, and we'd like the pirates to settle down. I mean, really, settle way down, you know, 600 fathoms down or something. But we want them to settle down. See, settle down. We want Northwest Arkansas to settle down because we're part of the same system. See. And there's no peace in the world in which we live. That's just the way it is. And so, just as a different thing, we could speak forever on this one. We live in a world that tries to make peace by escaping. Entertainment. Neil Postman wrote a book a number of years ago, a magnificent book. I lent mine to somebody out there, and you haven't returned it yet, called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And if you can get a copy, it's probably out of print now, but if you can get a copy of that and read it, it is an indictment against us, amusing ourselves to death. That's what we're doing, to escape. I mean, we have a we. So we don't even have to go out and do something. We just escape, stay in our living room, and we do all these things just to avoid reality, see. Drugs and drinking and on, you know. Virtual reality is the big deal because we don't want really reality because there's no peace to the world. And when we touch reality, we have no peace. And we live in that world. That's your neighborhood. That's my street. That's this city and this part of the country. And that's this whole world. See, we live in that. We may be citizens of another world, which we are by faith in Christ, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, but we live down here in a world that has no peace. And this is the world that the Lord is going to leave his disciples in. And so he teaches about the world and how to live in it. And it's amazing in this last section, he speaks very little about what we're all concerned about. And we're all concerned about sin. See? And he speaks very little about sin and forgiveness and righteousness and those kind of things that really we're worried about. He speaks about our hearts. How do we feel in this world? See? What is inside of us? See? What is my spirit like? See? And he gives us the word peace. See? He doesn't tell us about holy living, and he doesn't tell us about heaven. I mean, he does, but I mean, that's not his emphasis. And he doesn't tell us how to stand up to temptation and whatever. He says, I want to talk about, I give you peace. We're going to close with a hymn later on, you know, But it takes it from out here, where we think of peace like a treaty between countries where we don't shoot at each other anymore, to where the issue really is far away in the depths of my spirit. See, that's where we're talking about today. Not out there, because we know what's out there. That's just the world we live in. And his disciples are going to be out in that until they die. And we're going to be there until we die or he comes back for us. But he's talking about what's inside of us. See? And that's the context that brings us to this subject. The Lord is leaving, and his disciples, especially in chapter 14, are kind of upset and maybe a little panic-stricken. What are we going to do? Who will take care of us? How will we make it? See, if you're gone, Lord. And his answer, and we're really, even though we use 16:33 as our theme verse, we're really looking at 14:27. And that's the one you want to memorize. The Lord says, don't worry. Don't be troubled in your heart. That's a word that has to do with being stirred up or being thrown into confusion or being intimidated by something so that you're forced to do something that you shouldn't do. Don't let your circumstances get you going, see. Don't be troubled in your heart. The opposite, if you will, of being troubled would be calm, see. Don't get stirred up inside. And don't be fearful. And the problem with fear is that when you are afraid, you tend to do something that you ought not to do. See? You act cowardly. You act timidly. You don't live the way you ought. You pull back somehow and you're doing things you ought not to do or not doing what you ought to do because you're afraid. And he says, don't be stirred up and troubled. Don't be fearful. See? Don't feel afraid and don't act like you're afraid. See? The theme of a lot of Christians today is he's leaving and the world is coming and I don't know what I'm going to do. See? And he says, don't. Don't be troubled. Don't be fearful. He says, I give you peace. I leave my peace with you. And that's an interesting phrase, right? My peace I leave with you. It's the peace that he himself had. See? And he is just like he can take from himself his peace and say, here. See? He's giving you, or giving us what he had. See? And this word peace, his peace, is a marvelous word. It's really related not so much to the Greek of the New Testament as it is to the Hebrew of the Old Testament. The word is shalom. And it has to do, and I got a whole list here, it has to do with completeness. Not fragmented, you're complete. That's shalom. See? Wholeness. Soundness, not sick. Soundness. Contentment. Security. Quiet from war. Freedom from strife, whether it's external or internal. Freedom from strife. Calm of heart. It's in the Old Testament, it's identified with the Messiah. It's identified with salvation. See? It's a gift from God. It's not self-generated. It's a gift from God. It's what we're headed for. The messianic kingdom comes in peace. See? It's a big word. It encompasses every area of a person's life, from just how they are in themselves, whole and sound, and you know, to all of eternity. It's a big word, peace. Definition I copied down, and I don't remember where I copied it, but it's a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation in Christ. Think about that. A tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation in Christ. Hey, if we really are His people and we are the sheep of His pasture, what are we assured of? See, if we really are saved by Christ, what are we assured of? See, a tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation in Christ. Then it says, fearing nothing and content with everything. See, you're just at peace. Nothing stirs us. Nothing stirs us. Fear nothing, content with everything. He says, I give you peace. I give it to you. You don't have to generate it. I give it to you. And He doesn't give it like the world gives. You know how the world gives. They do the, some of them, and you know, bless their hearts, they try. See? They try to give you something that works. Make life a little bit easier, calm you down a little bit. They really try to give, see? But the best the world can do is give something temporary. Now, they can do some other things, and I'm not talking about the bad. The best they can do is give you something that's temporary. See? That's the best the world can give you is something temporary. Well, we'll get you through the next couple of days. See? But the Lord says, I don't give this to you like the world gives. If the world, the best they can do is give you something temporary, the Lord says, I'll give you something permanent. See? I'll give you something not only eternal, put it off to eternity, I'll give you something right now that's permanent, never, ever goes. See? And peace is not just a theological concept, although if you remember some of those verses, and we'll go through a few of them, we do have positional peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's a positional. We are no longer at war with God. That's our position. See? But the peace He's talking about is not that. I don't really believe He's talking about that. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about how are you? See? In the world now, right now, how are you? Not positionally in Christ, but how are you here? How are you out there? How is your heart in your life now? See? And we need to understand peace. We really do. We need to understand how basic it is to our Christian faith. Again, you read some of those verses. But God reveals Himself, among other things, and quite often, as a God of peace. That's one of His titles. That's one of His names. I am a God of peace. You can read Romans 16, and I think it's 17 through 20, talks about, hey, how you handle certain situations, you can handle them in such a way, and it says, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. See? The famous, if you will, the well-known benediction in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace, this is a blessing from the writer of Hebrews, now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you in every good thing to do His will, and so on. The God of peace, see? That's our God. He gives Himself that title. We want Almighty God. eternal God, Redeemer, Creator. How about peace? Gee. And He works through Jesus Christ, but He works in terms of peace. Remember one of the prophecies about the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 1, in Zechariah's great prophecy starting in the 70s, going down to about verse 80, talks about this one that's coming will guide our feet into the way of peace. Now granted, that's peace with God in terms of salvation, but He's talking about life. This one that's coming will guide your feet into the way of peace. And whatever else that verse means, when the angels appeared to the shepherds, they say, glory to God on the highest, and on earth, peace. Now, it may be only peace with certain people, and I'm not going to get into the different translations of that verse, but it is, just stop it right there if you want. Glory to God on the highest, and on earth, peace. That's the announcement of His birth. See, not glory to God in the highest, and on earth forgiveness of sins, or heaven by and by, or peace. See, all of that other stuff is true, but peace. The passage that Roger read out of chapter 2 in Ephesians, He Himself is our peace. Do you ever think of Jesus Christ as your peace? Peace to those who are far off. I was far off. Peace to those who are near. See, but peace. Colossians 1:20. God is reconciled the whole world to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Everything God does, and you can have parallel and pick up different words, but His whole program through Jesus Christ is linked to peace. And when Christ came with the gospel, Acts chapter 10, verse 36, and these are just a few of the large number of verses that talk about this. Talking about God, the word which He sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel that God sent through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:17, again, talking about the coming of Christ, and He preached peace. Do you remember in one of the instances in Luke chapter 7 where the Lord healed a woman who, not healed her, but had dealt with a woman who had been brought to Him as in terms of sin? And He said, go thy way, something to the effect of, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, He didn't say, in that particular case, don't sin anymore. He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, and I'm just realizing, and it's working in me, that the New Testament, for all that it talks about in terms of salvation, and my mind runs in terms of systematic theology, and when I think of salvation, I'm immediately going through Romans and all this justification by faith development and all that, which is marvelous. But for every passage like that, there's a reference somehow that with salvation comes peace. See, I am saved to a life of peace. I think that's one of the themes in the whole New Testament. I am saved to a life of peace. Used to be alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. See. That's the way I was. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a righteousness of Christ. Justified. He declares me righteous. And then he says in Romans, he says, therefore, and this is another verse that you read, I hope they were familiar with to you, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. See? And at peace with God, I live in a world that's at war with me. And Paul says in Philippians 4, and we also read these verses in 6 through 9, and you want to remember these verses, he says, hey, be at peace. If there are some good things, think about them. And you read the list. Good things, think about them. And if there are, says there are situations, don't worry about them, but pray about them. And what happens? See, the peace of God, the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God will keep your hearts and your minds. Your hearts and your minds. It doesn't change the circumstances, maybe. It keeps your hearts and minds. The peace of God. Another definition of peace that I wrote down. Peace is the absence of spiritual unrest, the assurance of salvation and of God's loving presence under all circumstances. Peace results from exercising faith in God and His Son Jesus, and here's the one, and from contemplating His gracious promises. And when I read that, I said, he said, my peace I leave with you. See? That's what he said he would do. Now, either he is not faithful to his promises, or he left his peace with me. Regardless of my circumstances, regardless of the life, regardless of what comes around me. See? I mean, he didn't define anything for the disciples. He just said, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. See, whatever circumstances out there, see, don't worry about them, because that's the best they can do, is they're living out their defeat. See, the world system is living out its being conquered. See, these are the last gasps of a dying empire, if you will. See, I mean, that's how we think of it. Be of good courage. I have overcome all that. See, and the world's opposition and the circumstances that I face are essentially in my life, according to the verse, useless. My situation has no effect on this. See? I am not to be peaceful in this situation, wrestle with it here. See, it's not in this situation be at peace. In this circumstance be at peace. It just says, my peace I leave with you. See? So every now and then we need to just back off and look at this verse and say, this is the world I live in. And the Lord says, don't worry about it. He's already taken care of it, and it's okay, regardless. And these guys were facing persecution. These guys were facing martyrs' deaths. These men were really facing a worse than anything we would face. But nevertheless, see, he doesn't say, he just says, don't worry about that, because I leave you my peace. Don't be unsettled. Don't be troubled, tossed, restless, nervous, whatever, anxious, fearful. And one of the words that the Lord gave to his disciples, and one of the last words that the Lord would give to us, would be peaceful. Peaceful. And that ought to be a characteristic of us today, of me. I ought to be at peace, because it's not my peace, it's his peace that he's given me. And you ought to be at peace today, because it's his peace that he said, I'm leaving. You're living in a tough world. I leave you my peace. And above all else, I mean, he left them with a lot of things, but he left them his peace. And that's the way our hearts need to be. If it's not, then either we don't understand the promise, or we don't believe it. See? If we don't understand it, you can just read and say, well, that's what peace is like. That's what peace is like. That's what peace is all about. If you don't believe it, then you have to say, is that what Jesus is all about? Would he say, I give it to you, and then not mean it? And the answer is, that's unthinkable. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. We, of all people in this world, can be peaceful, regardless of any other consideration. Peaceful in this world today. And I trust you can find your peace in Jesus Christ. It starts by peace of the gospel. And it goes on to peace in our life. And if your faith needs to be in Jesus Christ as Redeemer and Savior, and then your faith continues to be in Jesus Christ as one who keeps his promise to give you peace. And if you're not at peace, if I'm not at peace, it's my relationship with the Lord that's wrong, not him. And if you're struggling and you're unrestful and you're fearful, and you just don't settle down because of what's happening, then you need to rethink. You need to think about just exactly what has the Lord said to me in terms of salvation, in terms of peace. Trust that we can be peaceful people. Let's pray. Father, teach us what it is to be at peace. At peace with you, Lord, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. But to be peaceful in this life. And again, Father, you know our hearts. You know each life better than we know our own lives. You know what we're going through even today in our families and relationships and other things. Lord, we thank you that you have left us with your peace. And I pray that we would know that and we would live that, and that people would see us and glorify you, the God of peace, the one who came preaching the gospel of peace. Show us how to live, Lord, as people of peace in your name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you would, please, and turn to number 500. Song about peace. And I trust that this will be a testimony of your heart. We'll just sing the first two verses, verse 1 and 2. The second verse is, what a treasure I have, buried deep in the heart of my soul. so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. That's the peace that he's left with us. Let's stand, please, and we'll sing just the first two verses of number 500. And then, Sam, would you come, please, and close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your peace that you give. And Father, we realize that as we live in this world, today or the days to come, we will be tempted to seek peace through conformity to this world. And Father, I pray that your Spirit and your word would renew our minds as we're tempted, that we would be able to realize and acknowledge that you've given us that peace, that it only comes from you. And Father, may we be a people that is at peace. And we thank you for it and pray this in Christ's name. Amen.